everyone. I'm glad to be up here this morning, and, you know, it meets the alternative, right?
Right.
You know what? You know what? You guys, I'll tell you, every time I get up here on Sunday morning, are you asleep? We just sang praises to God, and I think most of you guys just went to sleep. You don't automatically go to sleep when Pastor Joe gets up here. Alright. I know the lights are down. We should put the spotlights up. Turn the air conditioning off, although it's not running very well. Anyway, let's go to, we're doing the taking the first steps, taking the next step. Alright, this is part three of that series, and today we're going to be talking about patience. Patience. Does anybody have patience? Let's look at chapter 40 of Genesis. We're going to read the first four verses to begin with. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. Let's pray. Dear gracious God, we just ask that you would just have your way with us this morning, that allow your word to penetrate us, Father. God, we just thank you so much for the folks that came out this morning to hear your word, to worship you, and to sing your praises, God. And we just ask that you would just bless this time that we have this morning with you. And God, we just ask that you would show your face in a very tangible way this morning to each and every one of us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know what? I consider myself a pretty patient person. And although I can, at times, until I have to wait on something, right? And then it's not too good. You know, Sue and I have been putting a new kitchen. We've been having a new kitchen put into our home. And it's been 2 months now. Without one. We just finally got some running water in the kitchen this weekend and our stove hooked up yesterday. But I'll tell you what, my patience is running out. Eating out every single day. You know, at first it was pretty nice, but now I am so tired of McDonald's. Anyway, my patience has hit the end of its wire here. It's running out. And there are lots of times that our patients are tested, isn't it? How about the traffic in Uniontown? Little Uniontown is so busy anymore. If you try to go down this hill on this light, down at the light, sometimes at 5 o'clock, the traffic is lined up from the light all the way up past the church here. Man, I'll tell you what, I can't wait until we get the new road in so that maybe that won't happen anymore. But traffic in little Uniontown, Pennsylvania, 119, just try to travel down 119 once in a while, especially when you're in a hurry. The other day I was in a hurry, and the person in front of me was not. And it was like they were taking a Sunday drive, and I'm thinking, just get out. And I had lost patience. But I'm pretty good. I don't do road rage or anything like that. But I do get anxious and things happen. And, you know, this summer we're going to have some construction delays. They've already started. And you'll have construction all the way up and down 119 for some reason. They'll just... Do you ever notice that they put out the cones and no one's around? And they lower the speed limit. And you can't go through there at 55. And if you do, the fine is doubled. And nobody's working. Even when there are people around, there's nobody working. Anybody from the state here? I should have said something. Should have asked that question before. We may have some waiting to do, though. There is all kind of waiting. waiting for the right job, right? Anybody waiting for the right job? My brother was a professional student when we were growing up. He was a professional student through college and everything. It took him a long time to get through college. And he was he was waiting for that right job to come along. Still waiting. Just joking. But you're waiting for the perfect job. Also for the right spouse. You're waiting for that perfect person, right? Waiting for that perfect spouse. Here's a good one. Waiting for your spouse to become the person you want them to be. Can I get an amen, sister? My wife. I meant that for me, though, so you were waiting for me to become the person you wanted to be. Or you may be waiting for it to happen, whatever it is, right? Family, have you ever thought that those times when we have to wait are really God's waiting room? You ever thought about that? God's waiting room? There will be times along life's path that God just says, wait right here. Wait here, and I'll be back. And, you know, what seems might be 10 minutes turns into 10 days and 30 days, and pretty soon it's 10 years. And this is not an uncommon thing. There are many times in the Bible where people have to wait, right? Moses is a great example. He was out there herding sheep for 40 years on the backside of the desert, and then he returned to leadership to him. And then there's Jacob. Remember Jacob? We talked about Jacob not too long ago. Jacob waited to marry his wife Rachel, who he was absolutely in love with. And then they put the old bait and switcheroo there. He got married to Leah after 7 years. And then he had to work another 7 years. 14 years later, he finally gets Rachel. But that all happened for a reason. And it was 7 years before Paul actually could start his ministry after God had to work with him for a little while. And this morning, we see that Joseph is in the waiting room right now. We have been looking into the life of Joseph for the past few weeks, showing us the steps we need to take to have a closer walk with God. Last week, we looked at the step of integrity. And we need to really take that. You know, we talked about the steps that we need to take. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord over your life, you need to take that first step into Christianity, into knowing Jesus Christ as Lord over your life. Last week, we looked at integrity and how Joseph was accused of being with Potiphar's wife. And that step of integrity, if you don't have that, you need to have that step of integrity to have that closer walk with God. So that's one. And today we're going to talk about the step of patience. We need to have patience. Joseph had been through a lot. Now God puts him on hold. God has at least two objectives in Joseph's life. It's to build character in Joseph and to test his character. It's no different when he deals with us. This is what he does when he wants to use us. And you know what? The greater desire God has for us, the greatest desired use that he has for us, the easier the test, right? The greater use and desired use that he has for each one of us is going to be an awesome test. An awesome test of patience and endurance and in character. Just look what he did with Joseph with his character of integrity last week. Family, unfortunately, most often it involves pain or affliction or waiting. And the question would be, is how will we respond? Will we grow, or will we look for an alternative route? You know, that's funny, alternative route. The car, you know, it has the
GPS
in it. And it tells you, hey, you know what? You need to take an alternate route because there's a traffic jam or something in front of you. And we like to take alternative routes because we don't like to wait, do we? And sometimes when we're being tested, our response is, let's take an alternate route. Look at all God had put Joseph through. He removed him from his scheming father, who favored him over his brothers and who hated him. And God gave him a special assignment that took him to Egypt. He was sold into slavery, rose to prominence in Pharaoh's house or Potiphar's home. From a lowly slave to a manager of the household. Why? Because God was with him. And that's one thing that we have to remember. Remember last week we took a look at how many scriptures that said God was with Joseph. And because God built into him the kind of faithfulness and character any employer would prize, just when Joseph thought it was safe to go outside, God allowed another circumstance to happen in his life. Potiphar's wife desires him and tries to seduce him. Joseph didn't give in to the temptation. He didn't wait or want to sin against God. Remember that? Family, time and time again, Joseph was put to the test. His character went through the fire, so to speak, and was displayed, not destroyed. There are three ways he could have responded. They're pretty common responses we might have when sitting in God's waiting room. Number one is the response of anger and bitterness. We can probably get a little angry thinking about what is happening to Joseph. Potiphar and his house were blessed because of Joseph. Joseph never stole anything. He did nothing but good in Potiphar's house. And Potiphar never questioned his wife about it. Just threw Joseph in prison. You can get pretty angry at thinking about that, can't you? After all, the abuse and abandonment and hatred and slavery, false accusations, and now prison. I can understand if he were angry and bitter, and he had every right to be, don't you think? But he wasn't. Second, he could have tried to manipulate the situation. Anybody ever try to manipulate the situation that they're in? I know I have. I always try to manipulate the situation. You guys are on the phone this morning. He could have gone into the prison and gossiped, telling people about Mrs. Potiphar. Well, you know, the reason why I'm in here is because that wicked lady, Mrs. Potiphar, she tried to make an attempt on me. And now I'm in here, I try to run away from her. That's why I'm here. How many times have people done things to you or you were in a situation that you tried to justify by saying things about the other person? You want to get your story out. You want to appeal to others. When we are waiting in the human, the human response is to do something. Do something we think will affect the situation. Maybe we might look for another job or manipulate our spouse into doing something that we want them to do. Family, Joseph waited and then he got busy. He wasn't paralyzed. This situation, he's thrown into jail. He had every right to be angry. He had every right to be bitter. He had every right to gossip and tell his story. But guess what he did? He just got busy. Didn't paralyze him at all. He was busy serving. He didn't leave his character behind at Potiphar's house. He's still a faithful servant and manager. He uses God's waiting time to do what he knows is right. And a third option, forsake God and the earlier dreams that God had given him. You know, each of us respond to pain and waiting differently. The person who trusts God sees affliction and waiting as growth time. And they grow because of deep confidence in God and what he is doing. People who do not trust God view affliction or waiting as attacks or threats on their safety. Their response is to turn inward, to come up with their own responses, to trust in themselves. Family, the result of a person not trusting in God is like turning your back on him. And the third response is, we just have had enough. Joseph could have just walked away. If he would have told his fellow inmates the story that happened to him about him being sold into Egypt and everything else, they would have said, you know what, Joseph, you need to get yourself a new God. So how did Joseph respond? And how could he continue to demonstrate the kind of character we've all witnessed? First of all, Joseph trusted God's character. Take a look at chapter 39 and look at beginning in verse 21. Genesis chapter 39, beginning in 21. It says, but the Lord was with Joseph. And that is so important. The Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it prosper. Take a look down at chapter 40, verse 8. And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me then, I pray you. Joseph believed in a God who is not only all wise and all loving, but all powerful. The God he served didn't only place his servants in circumstances that were harsh and unpleasant, but he also went with them. That's important. When you're going into a circumstance that you're in right now, and you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, and God is testing you, guess what? God is right there with you. He's in the situation with you. That's what we have to remember. He's with us. And he gave them the grace to endure it. Joseph's dark days remind every one of us that believers who will suffer, and that God employs precisely those times to accomplish his purpose. But no promise is more comforting to a suffering or waiting Christian than this. There's some scripture I want you to go to. Hebrews chapter 13, 5. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's a pretty good piece of scripture to remember when you're going through a problem, right? Deuteronomy chapter 31. You don't have to go to these, but you can mark them down. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Joshua 1, 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Genesis 28:15. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." Joseph is not sitting in the corner pouting or whining. He doesn't disengage. He's doing good. Secondly, he responded by serving others. Take a look at verse 4 in chapter 40. The captain of the guard charged Joseph with them. And what did he do? And he served them, and they continued to seize him in ward. Pharaoh's cupbearer and baker offended Pharaoh. Now, details they don't give. But whatever it was, they landed in jail, the same place Joseph was. Verse 4 tells us that Joseph served them. He ministered to them. It means to wait on or attend to. He met the needs of fellow prisoners. Later, after their dreams, they got sad. They were depressed looking. Joseph doesn't ignore them. He makes it a point to ask them. Take a look at verse 7 in chapter 40. It says, "And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, Wherefore look ye so sadly today? Why are your faces so sad?" And we need to grasp that. This man isn't consumed with himself. He doesn't go through this hard time always asking, "Why me?" He enters into it. He engages with God's character. And he responds accordingly. When you learn to trust in God's character, yours will grow as well.
Amen.
Psalm 105 says, "He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron." It says that his soul was laid in iron. When the waiting begins, when the hard times come, let me urge you, get into God's Word and grow your view of God's character. Never assume the worst about God. Let Him mature you as you trust who He is. And lastly, Joseph recognized God's hand. We already read the first four verses in chapter 40, drop down to verse 8, and they said unto him, "We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." And Joseph said unto them, "Do not interpretation belong to God? Tell me then, I pray thee." Look at 14. "But think of me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed, I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should be put me into the dungeon." Now, this wasn't just a place, a little prison. You know, I think sometimes we think that this place that he was in was some kind of a hotel. It was a dungeon. Not a good place to be. I've already said Joseph didn't wallow in his self-pity. He served his fellow prisoner. He took on responsibilities, and he was faithful in everything he was given to do. The chief jailer trusted him and gave him more responsibility. Then God drops, out of nowhere, two men that had the ear of Pharaoh right into his care. Think about that. All this has gone going on, and out of nowhere, two men that could go to Pharaoh and talk to him, drops him right there into the same prison with Joseph. And they have a dream. And Joseph spoke God's truth to both of them. After Joseph interprets their dreams, he mentions to the one who was going to live, "Remember me when you are restored to Pharaoh. I came here through no fault of mine." He's not whining or manipulating. He's making a simple statement of a request and left the rest to God. The amazing thing was, two more years would go by before God moved to use what he had done for the cupbearer to free him from prison. Now, I would think, by the time 2 years would go by, I would think, well, you know what? They didn't remember me, and I'm never going to get out of here. But guess what? Joseph continued to serve. Joseph continued to be the man of God that God wanted him to be, and showed that character all through that time. The steps we need to take, family. It's preparation time for some of us. Maybe things have been going pretty easy lately. But sooner or later, God will begin again to grow your character through adverse events or painful circumstances. Or simply in waiting. He is intended on your development. Now is the time you get to know God's character and grow in your trust in Him. Through His Word and through time with Him, don't wait until you get there. Look, family, what you need to do is make sure that you read, like Joshua said, you get into His Word day and night. And you meditate on His Word day and night. And this way, when something happens to you, you're not caught off guard, and you know what God's Word says. You know God's promises. You know God's character. And that will sustain you through the problems in the waiting time. You know, some of us are going to be in God's waiting room. The doors aren't made of iron, but they are locked. And how will you respond? Let me remind you. Let me encourage you. Do not imagine for a single moment that God has abandoned you. Let Him do His work. Get into His Word of truth. Seek His face. Tell Him all that is in your heart. Cast yourself on Him. Trust Him. Maybe like you've never trusted before. Remind yourself every day of His character. Review His promises and watch for what He's doing. And make yourself available to Him. Would you all stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Joseph's in a tough situation. You know, he's... His brother sold him into slavery, sold him to Egypt, goes into Potiphar's house and is accused falsely, gets put into prison, gets forsaken and forgotten by the men who he thought maybe would get him out of there. But yet his character... Nowhere in Scripture does it ever say Joseph sinned against God. Nowhere. His character was pure. He loved God. He trusted God. He had faith in God. We need to take that next step, family. That next step that may take us into a place of affliction. That next step that might put us in the waiting room. You might be in the waiting room right now. You might be in affliction right now. You might be tested right now. How are you going to respond? Are you going to respond like Joseph and continue to serve God? Or are you going to just try to get out of that situation on your own? Are you going to try to manipulate people and circumstances so that You might be able to get through this on your own, because you're not going to get through it. Any test that God puts you through, He will continue to put you through it until you pass the test. So, the altar's open. Won't you come? You may be in that position right now. You might be in the waiting room right now, and you're saying, God, You promised. You promised, God. And I'm in this waiting room, and I don't know how much more I can wait. Won't you come and just ask Him for some strength? Ask Him, say, God, I'm here. I want to serve You. I want to do what's right. I know what Your character is. I read Your word on a daily basis, and I know who You are. Strengthen me, Lord. Strengthen me so I can get through the next couple of days, the next hour. Family, this is time to take another step closer to God. Won't you come? Just come and just pray to an almighty God that knows the situation you're in.
Lift your voice as heaven and earth give praise. Fall to your knees at the feet of the Son of the One True.
Abraham came. gave him a tenth of what he had back to a type of Christ. And that's what we're to do. And sometimes as we study Joseph, some of our biggest problems that we have are finances. And God says, give me back what is mine. Give me the tenth of your spoils, and I will bless you for it. And sometimes that's hard for us to do when we have bills to pay, but you have to go out and you have to trust what Jesus Christ says, and he will bless you for it in his timing. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just give thanks to you through the good times and through the trials and tribulations that we all go through. Help us to understand that it is for our good and to be in your word on a daily basis, to seek your direction, your guidance, and your encouragement. And Lord, we just give thanks now for all the blessings that you will bestow upon us. And Lord, it's all for your honor and glory, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Now, if you're offering, let's all go ahead and stand up together. I'm going to close with Majestic. Go ahead and stretch your legs a little bit.
The heavens declare your
mercy.